express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Mary, art on the air today. Stay in the know with Mary and Esther, art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, our theme music you just heard was by the wonderful and Billy Foster with the vocal by Renee Foster.
Phenomenal. They're
we
so wonderful.
So much for giving that to us. Hey, our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our wonderful landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Hey, if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this wonderful historic technical building, give Walt a call at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821.
It's filled with so much creativity, this building.
It is. It's lots of artists and groups here, so we'd like to thank them both for their generous support. Always thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, getting us on the air and making sure we stay on the air.
Yeah, the wonderful Greg.
Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for an Arts. That's a federal agency. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest, send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Hey, we have a Facebook page, so like us on Facebook. It's Art on the Air, WVLP, and we like to see that's where we have most of the current information on what we're doing and how we're doing it.
That's true.
Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. So if you have trouble hearing us over the radio, always hear us there. Art on the Air is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. You can hear our entire show archive all the way back to when we started in October of last year at Breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That's BRECH.com/AOTA. We also have our detailed arts calendar, and you find that information there. Shows are carried on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM every Sunday at 7 p.m. And we're also heard on Red Hawk Radio, WIUN at IU Northwest Closed Circuit Station. Hey, to keep us on the air, there's a lot of people that have to help us out. And we have underwriting support. And what is an underwriter? Well, they're a supporter of the station, just like the ones you heard. You can do that too, and we'd encourage you. We're going to do some equipment upgrades here at the station. We're going to add phone call-in capability and a bunch of other things.
Hopefully remote.
Remote.
I would like to do remote.
Well, the remote, I think I can do that now if we ever do that. We also...
Record. But I mean, like field trips for
yes,
us.
Yes, field
to go
trips.
Do.
Anyway, this kind of things are happening, and so we'd like to do that. If you're interested in supporting us, become an underwriter, and we'd be glad to mention you, especially underwriting this show. Go to wvlp.org/support, and you know, given whatever amount you can, because we don't want you to just be a listener. We appreciate your listenership, but we want you to be a supporter in whatever level you can. And I say this every week. Esther gets a smile every time I do that. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, because you'll feel so good supporting this station and our show Art on the Air. Well, I guess we're ready for the arts calendar, and I'm going to start with Porter County. Well, Valparaiso University Center for Arts Brower Museum is back in business again after their winter break. Opening January 12th is the Brown County and Beyond exhibit. The other exhibits are Spectral Speculations of Japanese Prints, Unfinished by Mary Bork, and Prints. There, they'll be all there. They're going to have an opening on January 12th at 2 p.m. So you can see all that. And also, don't forget, go see the new Neil Goodman sculpture out on the campus. Brand new out there. The Inseparable Film Tour in Valparaiso. Five award-winning Indiana filmmakers were chosen by the Indiana Humanities to create short documentaries examining ways Hoosiers experience rural identities and urban identities. And that'll be Wednesday, January 15th at 6:30 p.m. at Valparaiso University. Information is on the Facebook page. The Village Gallery of the Pines at the Village is Jackson Pearson. The exhibit is Remembering a Man and His Eye for the Beauty. Opens Sunday, January 12th. Information again on our events page. Well, Chester and Arts Center has so much things going on, it's hard to read it all. So you need to go to their page. But they have a bunch of new classes coming up there. The exhibit in the main galleries continue with the Duneland Photography Club through the end of January. Stained glass and a whole bunch of things, and tons of children's programs.
I know, between Chesterton Arts Center and South Shore, their classes are just so fabulous. They really are.
Yeah. Well, we have two new children's instructors who do a phenomenal job there. And I say we because I'm on the board there. So anyway, so you can check that out.
On the board everywhere.
I know. Yeah, that's the way to live life, I guess, in semi-retirement. So, the Art Barn, well, they on January 24th, 7 to 10 p.m., they have Tim Rounds, and they're doing their open mic again there at the Art Barn. So you can find out in details about that. So that's kind of fun. Artsy Fine Arts in Chesterton. Well, they're going to start doing their wire wrapping classes and acrylic pour, and they have a bunch of other classes going on there. Go to their Facebook page is the fastest way to find out, and they have a whole bunch of things going on there starting this month. The Ellen Firm Gallery continues with the DT Chase with the Iron Horse. It's a 40 by 50 oil, and that opened in December and continues through this month. That's on US 12 in Beverly Shores. Memorial Opera House. Well, they're coming up on January 18th doing their sixth year of the Mega Beatles. It's a fundraising concert. So that you can go help support what they're doing there. Plus, they are gearing up and starting in rehearsal for Mary Poppins, the musical that will open February 14th. You can find out details on their page. Dig the Dunes. Well, they always have something going on.
They do.
Whether it's a flight night with several flights of beer at different places, so go there. There's only too many things to list, but Dig the Dunes always has something. But the best thing I'd like to remind you is they have the 2020 calendar, still some available. So contact Eve and she'll be happy to get you one. And, you know, you'll love the October page, I'm sure. Chicago Street Theater. Chicago Street Theater, they're going to be doing on January 11th, Comedy Town at 8 p.m. And then on January 24th, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night. And that's going to open on February 8th. And then 4th Street Theater, well, they're doing two things. They're getting ready for the production of Art, which is the name of the show. They'll open March 13th. It's a three-person show. Grant Fitch is in that show. He was on our show earlier. And then they do improv on January 11th. And I have to always say this very carefully. They're makeshift up and disposable theater. So they'll be January 11th, both of them improv, and that's 8 p.m. at 4th Street Theater. Looks like that's all I have for Porter County, but that's happening after we had a couple weeks of kind of quietness. What do you have going on in LaPorte County?
You know, it's still kind of quiet in LaPorte County, but we have a few things going on. I'll say in LaPorte, downtown LaPorte, is the Thaddeus C. Gallery. They're a great gallery, so when in LaPorte, please look them up. Lubesnik Center for the Arts. Their galleries are closed January 5th through the 24th, but they'll be opening February 7th in the Heinemann Gallery with Local at LCA. That's the Area Artists Association show. Rising Phoenix Gallery is closed until March 1st. The SSC Gallery has no exhibit this month. Blink Contemporary Art exhibits the work of Suzanne Cohen-Lang and Rick Lane. They are on winter hiatus. Almost Maine auditions January 11th at 10 a.m. and January 12th at 3 p.m. The Young People's Theater Company. Let's see, what else do we have? Nest is exhibiting the paintings of Robert Serko. His exhibit is called Me, Myself, and Eyes. We have a new class, Comic and Drawing Club. It's actually not a new one. It's one we put on break, and now we're starting up again. The first meeting is January 17th and ongoing on Fridays from 3 p.m. until 5 or 6. It kind of just depends on the energy of that day. Saturday, January 18th, and every third Saturday, the All Ages, All Talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m. I know. We love Captain Ambivalent. It's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. Every first Friday is the Drum Circle with Don Wenig, and that begins at 6:30 p.m. Please join in. We have extra percussive. Stay for a few minutes. Stay for the whole thing. We would love to see you. February 7th is the next one. Wednesday, January 15th is the Brain Injury Support Group. This month it will be meeting at the Nest and probably all the winter months, and then we'll move back to Anamkara. Free Your Story, the Storytelling Workshop with Roger Batten. That's Sunday, January 19th, and that's with My Path Bibliotherapy. And these workshops are really fantastic. So, and they're personal narrative workshops. And the two that I've been to have been really transformative, and the group is fantastic.
And if they listen next week, they'll hear Roger on the show.
No, Roger will be here to talk about it. He's developed a beautiful program. More events and details on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page, and that's our short report.
Well, that's still pretty good for LaPorte, and you can always hear all the things on the event page. Well, we'll move on to Lake County. Well, Studio 659, they're going to have their salon show called Artistic License, and that will open January 31st, 7 to 9 p.m. Somebody here also has three pieces in that show, you know, this, so you can find out information on that.
All the and way it's not me.
Hey, you know, I'm an exhibitionist. Anyway, so you can find the information about Studio 659. It's in Whiting, right there on 119th Street, and that will be on January 31st for the entire month of February. South Shore Arts. Well, first of all, we had Donna Catalano on last week, and she talked about grants. If you have questions so about the grant process, I have her phone number, direct phone number, and her email on our site. Call her. There's a whole bunch of grant money sitting out there that the Indiana Arts Commission wants to give away, and there's a process to do it. Donna can help you with that. In the Bachman Gallery, Things That Go Bump in the Night continues through February 2nd, so you can still have a chance to see that unique exhibit. Atrium Gallery, they have Earth Forms all the way through March 8th. Crown Point Branch has the Winter in the Dunes. That's going to be run through March 8th also. And Substation number 9, Gallery of the Voice, Julio Guerrera is there, and that's in Hammond. Toll Theater has Jim Sir JG. It's a Real Thing, and that's going to go through February 21st. Those are all the things under South Shore Arts. Go to their website to find out more. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District, they're opening their Black History Month exhibit. That's going to be opening February 7th, and so you can see that. They have money hours like on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and information again is on our events page. South Lake Artist Cooperative, commonly known as SLAC, and the members are called Slackers. They still continue with their art, the coffee at the Sip Coffee House, and the theme is going to be coffee. That's a call for art, and that's going to do January 13th. So if you're interested in that, they still have Crackle, which is their exhibit at Coffee House Number 2 in Highland, and Word is still at Sip Coffee House in Crown Point. And they also are at Paul Henry Gallery. Their 10th anniversary show is an invitational, and that's still running in there. Find out information there. Theater at the Center. Hey, that's my old stomping grounds. Comedy night at there. They'll be doing on January 10th, 8 p.m., Jeff Jenna. And then they're going to move on January 11th to something called Kashmir. It's a Led Zeppelin salute show, so you can see that. And then they have Echoes of Pompeii. It's a Pink Floyd tribute on Friday, January 24th. And, of course, they're getting ready for their big production coming up, Almost Heaven, February 13th, a salute to John Denver. They also have things for theater for young audiences, and they will have a special MLK project January 27th through February 1st, and they're going to bring in some version of Aladdin in April. So on that information there. It's not probably like the big Disney musical Aladdin. The Theater for Young Audiences is usually a smaller version of that. Promise You Art House. Well, they are now looking for, they're doing their nostalgia exhibit, which is wrapping up, but they have kind of a call for art. So if you're interested in exhibiting there, they're going to do kind of themes based on time periods and things like that. It's too complicated for me to explain, but go to the link there and you'll figure that all out. Lakeshore Community Concerts. We're going to have them on here in 2 weeks. They're going to have Jason Lyle Black, a comic pianist. He does a lot of things on stage. That's on February 9th. Again, Lakeshore Community Concerts, formerly known as Munster Community Concerts, formerly known as the Hammond Community Concerts. I'm involved with all three versions of that. So they'll be doing that. You can find that season, and we're going to have them on in a couple weeks, and you can hear about what's coming up in the rest of their season and going on. Well, Northwest Indiana Symphony, their next thing is the Vivaldi concert, Rachmaninoff and Beethoven Symphony No. 5. Who doesn't know Beethoven Symphony No. 5? I mean, everyone. That's going to be March 6th. You can find out information there. And what we'll be talking about today, and it's on our calendar, is Dillinger. It's a stage reading of a new play by Jerry Holt at 2 p.m. at Beatnik's on Conkey. And it's a great thing for you. It's a Seedlings Theater Company that's doing that, and we're going to talk more about that. But that looks like all we have for Lake County. Where's your thing on our list? Well, you can
do
that.
Where is it?
Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com. Send it to us. We'll be happy to read it on the air. It's a great place, that. And you are listening to Art on the Air with Esther Golden and Larry Breckner, and we'll be heard here again on Monday at 5 p.m. and on 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio Sunday at 7 p.m. Whoops, almost said the wrong time. So now we'd like to introduce our guest, the author of Dillinger, The Stage Reading, Jerry Holt. We welcome you today for Art in the Air.
Thank you.
And along with him is Becky Jakosiak. And here she is going, and she's been involved in many, many hats, but now she's involved in the Seedlings Theater Company at this point.
Thanks for having us on.
Well, we'd love to have you on. So, Jerry, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Well, I'm a native of Oklahoma who began my university teaching career 55 years ago, if you can believe that, and it took me several places, including Southern Ohio, and then over here to what was originally Purdue North Central, and that became Purdue Northwest.
And that's in English, correct?
Right. And so did that start in grade school, your love of books and writing and English? I mean, where did all of that start?
It was always going to be a career in writing and teaching for me. Those are the things that I seem to be able to do. And along the way, in the various places where I held academic positions, I always tried to become very, very interested in local and regional culture, because it's my feeling that every community has thousands of untold stories. Mm-hmm. And that certainly proved to be true with Southern Ohio. That's where I wrote my first successful play. It was a one-person show about the baseball guru Branch Rickey, who brought Jackie Robinson into the major leagues, and it became a show about that friendship. And it was quite successful. It went ahead to play at the Baseball Hall of Fame.
That's so exciting.
Twice, and then at the invitation of the St. Louis Cardinals, they had it at their, because Rickey has a history with them too. They had it at their Hall of Fame there, and it still tours. And when I came to this part of the world, I saw the same thing was going on. Your area is, and mine now, is full of fascinating people, and many of them unheralded. I don't think a lot of people know, for example, that the silent screen's Cecil B. DeMille had a favorite actress.
Yes, indeed.
And she came from Michigan City, and her name was Anita King. And her story is very compelling, especially since she was not only a movie star, she was the first woman to drive an automobile coast to coast. There really ought to be a statue of her in Michigan City.
Well, maybe we should work on
that. You know, that might be a story for you to write right there.
Well, I have a short play about interesting story. And, of course, the very interesting story of your, speaking of movies, your Oscar winner, Ann Baxter, who is also a Michigan
local
City person. I have a show that came from living here about Ernie Pyle, the great World War II correspondent, who really was the eyes and ears of the United States in those days before television, because he traveled to every crisis spot of the war. So that's kind of the way that this project came about. So when Becky called and said, would you be interested in writing this, I was thrilled, because you don't really think Indiana without thinking Dillinger.
That's true.
You know, one quick question. How did you end up in Northwest Indiana? What brought you here?
Well, I had, like I say, I'm older, and I had retired from the Ohio system, and I was retired, I think, about 3 days, and I couldn't do this, and so there was an ad in the Chronicle of Higher Education that said that Purdue North Central was looking for a one-year temporary position. And I thought, well, maybe that will get this out of my system. And that was
9 years ago or something? 10 years, 11 years?
I'm embarrassed to say that was 2008, and I'm still here. So retirement.
And you started marvelous programs at PNW, and I know that we always looked forward to the. Did you? I'm sure you had something to do with the poetry that happened there every year.
Yeah, I was chair of the department at that time. Yeah. Those are the Poetry Palooza. That's an excellent program.
Yeah, it was a wonderful program because it was also an all ages.
Yeah, and you might know the Michigan City Slam Camp in the summer.
Yes,
that serves a real underserved population there. And which we as a department are very proud of as well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll move on to Becky for just a minute, so we'll find out a little bit about her. So, Becky, tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. I'm a fifth generation Valparaiso resident, so I've been here for family years and years and years. But in high school, I did everything music, and when I went to college, I did not get into the wind ensemble, and I was devastated. But I didn't realize that theater had such a vibrant life to it. So I found theater in college and have never looked back on my music.
So what part did you, have you done everything, backstage, front of stage?
I have done everything. Acting. I have produced, I have directed, stage managed, set design, lighting design,
costuming,
acting, drag, yeah, all of it at one point or another. And yeah, now I'm the president of the Northwest Indiana Excellence in Theater Foundation, and so I get to, in some ways, have my hand in lots of different theaters in the area, so that's exciting.
Tell us a little bit about what you do, like, away from theater.
Away from theater. I am the grant writer and marketing person for Opportunity Enterprises here in Valparaiso. We're an agency that serves people with disabilities. And I've been doing, grant writing for a variety of agencies for almost 10 years now. And I find myself also as the president of the Grant Professionals Foundation.
There you go. And we're familiar with that because we were
we
on the grant review panel. Yeah,
I know.
So
yeah,
we read and I appreciate your reviews. So thank you.
Yes, it was very interesting. So, and you also served in tourism for a while.
I did. I worked for the Lake County Convention Bureau for about 4.5 years, and then I was at the Porter County Tourism for about 10 years.
And did Spiros treat you okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I can call him up and tell him you didn't, right? You know, I'll give him a call right now. I have him on speed dialed.
Yep.
Very good. So we'll talk more about NEDIF, which is Northwest Indiana Excellence in Theater Foundation, and everything. So tell us about the Seedlings.
Sure. Seedlings Theater is a brand new theater. We've only been in existence about 3 years. It was kind of, in some ways, born out of when, unfortunately, Crown Point Community Theater closed. And so a group of us got together and said, you know, there's still a void of theater in Crown Point, and we want to celebrate that. So while we technically are based out of Hobart, because that's where our address is, but the whole point of Seedlings Theater is to plant theater where theater does not exist. So whether that's in a location that doesn't have theater, or with audiences that have never seen it before, or with actors who have never experienced it, but it's all about bringing new life to theater.
And so who came up with that magnificent name?
Well, we had some branding people involved in the startup of it. Matt Velukas is our president. I'm the vice president. And
Yeah.
Excellent. And so the Seedlings, and I know we'll jump ahead to this, is going to be this show that you're going to do is at the Beatniks on Conkey, which has been
Correct.
Around for a while. Kind of an interesting little venue, and we haven't sent us our stuff yet. You know, we're trying to get them to send stuff for our show.
I can work on that for you.
Yeah, well, you can work on marketing that. Yeah, because we're reaching a bigger audience now, so it's good.
It's true.
So when you had the idea to do Dillinger, which obviously is a strong Indiana thing, which is very timely because, you know, his relatives are trying to dig up his grave to see if it really is him buried there
Correct.
Or not. But so that is kind of timely. What brought you to come and approach about, you know, with this show?
Yeah, so it actually started, the idea for this show started about 5 years ago, and we had a conversation with people at Lake County Convention Bureau about putting on a show in their theater space mm-hmm. to go along with the Dillinger Museum.
Yeah.
And then the Dillinger Museum moved, and that was back at Crown Point Community Theater days, and so the project kind of died. And then when Seedlings was kind of reborn, we said, this is a great project. It kind of really fits our whole niche of bringing new life to theater. And so we
and
resurrected.
New work is wonderful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we resurrected the idea and wrote a grant. Thank you to the Indiana Arts Commission.
I remember that grant
for,
too.
Supporting it. So then we had funding to be able to actually do it and pay our wonderful playwright and provide. So this is kind of the culmination of 5 years of a vision, and it's finally coming to an audience.
Now, so explain exciting. What a staged reading is versus a full production. I know what it is, but our audience may not know.
So a staged reading, if you think about the process of playwriting, so a playwright sits down and writes it for himself or for a company. And in our case, Jerry was writing it for us. And so we've had a couple revisions back and forth of the writing and our kind of intent with it. And then, you have some voices read it and you kind of work out the details and Jerry can speak more to the writing side of it. But then at some point you have to put character to voice and you have to get in front of an audience and see how their reaction is. So this is the step that is the character voices are there. There's inflection. There's reading. There's indications of costume. There's no set. There's no technical elements, really. It's theater of the mind.
Right.
It's very much reader's theater, radio theater style, but it is in front of an audience, and you'll see those characters interact.
So when we've done stage readings in the gallery before for this play that was going to, before it went to Chicago, they wanted critiques from the audience.
Yeah.
Is this going to be the same audience input as
well? We will have a talk back after the show for audience for comments.
So really, your stage reading is actually like what they used to do in a Broadway theater, workshopping it.
Correct, yeah.
Because you already done the table reads, apparently, and moved on to workshops. So very good. Yeah. So, Jerry, how did you approach this subject? You know, there's been some controversy about highlighting Dillinger, who is a criminal, but also has some elements. We talked a little bit before the show, but, how did you approach coming to this?
Well, I had some history with Dillinger already in a kind of a strange way because one of the films about Dillinger, the one directed by John Milius that had Warren Oates in it, was shot in Oklahoma City in part back in the early 70s, and I was on the Oklahoma Film Commission at the time. So I got to see him go down and shoot the killing of Dillinger before a theater in Oklahoma City they'd mocked up for that purpose. And the story always haunted me. So when Becky contacted me, I was immediately excited. And I had a little bit of a vision of how to do that because the more I read about these folks, the more I realized that in a very real sense, they're gangsters, and they are responding very much to their times, the Depression. But they're also actors. They're a theatrical troupe in some ways, and their stage is every bank they rob, and their patter and their exchange with the people they're robbing plays very much like either vaudeville or perhaps early motion pictures. And so I kind of went at it this way. I took out the fourth wall so that, you know what that means, so that the characters could talk to the audience. And that's become kind of fashionable in part because of that Netflix series Fleabag, the technique. But in this case, a number of the characters do that, which brings the audience, at least we hope, into the show much as those patrons in banks back in the early 1930s were witnessing the Dillinger traveling review show. Mm. Now, by no stretch of the imagination does this mean that Dillinger was not a gangster or a bad man or anything like that. He certainly was, but he went at it in a very theatrical way. And if you're writing a play, that's just too wonderful a connection
right there, huh?
to miss. So in concept, that's what I tried to do. And then there's, I think, something else that was promoted and with very good reason by Becky, and I'm very thankful to her. We wanted to tell the Dillinger story, and it is usually told as a kind of Robin Hood story because the public did in many ways adore him. But, of course, with the recent news that you mentioned about exhuming Dillinger and so forth, you have to wonder, again, if you visit this material, this folklore, over and over, will it really hold up? Or is there a darker, seedier truth there that, frankly, we as audiences don't really want to know? So that is investigated in the show as well.
And we're talking about the stage reading of Dillinger on Art on the Air. So
sounds so compelling.
It is.
I can't wait to go see it.
Well, not only go see it, but maybe we should hear an excerpt of it. We may have twist their arms to do that, to have Jerry and Becky do some part of that. Why don't you set up the scene for us, what we're going to do, and talk about the wonderful Dillinger, and they're working that out, again, with Art on the Air. Right. So the scene is...
Well, we're going to do a scene that speaks to something else that was a great deal of fun for me to write. When you're dealing with legend, you get a creative edge or some elbow room that you usually don't get. And so I got to think about many things. For example, I am a lifetime admirer of the music of Lena Horne, and of Lena Horne, for that matter. And yes, it is very possible that a young Lena Horne, we know she was in Chicago in 1934, might have been singing in a club that Dillinger visited. So I thought, why not a cameo from Lena? In which, as it turns out, she introduces Dillinger to the woman who will become so significant to him, Billy Frechette. And it's a short scene, but you'll be able to tell from the setup what we're doing here. I'll read some directions, and then Becky will read Lena, and I'll read Dillinger for a few lines here. We see a stunning African-American woman in a cabaret dress, perched on a stool and holding a microphone. This is a very young Lena Horne. She raises the microphone. The announcer says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Lena Horne." And she sings.
Don't know why ain't no sun up in the sky, stormy weather, since my man and I ain't together. Just keeps raining all the time. In 1933, I was 16 years old. Imagine that. And I had come from Podunk, Pennsylvania, but had somehow made my pubescent way to the Cotton Club in New York City. That was the black club where the white people liked to slum on down to, you know. And we'd go on tour over to Chicago, where we'd perform in that Club Delisa. It was illegal for me to be in any of those clubs, but it was the tail end of Prohibition, and ain't nobody paid no mind to the age limits, and... not much else for the come to do with the law, come to that. One night I'm singing my heart out at 3 in the morning, and a bunch of drunk white Chicago folks, when who comes in? But John Dillinger. He had a couple of buddies with him, and they was dressed to kill. Pardon the expression. I must have been looking pretty snazzy, because come the first break, and Johnny's over there slicking up to me.
You sing real pretty, ma'am.
Thank you.
My name's John Dillinger.
I was surprised because he pronounced his name with a hard G, like Dillinger. Of course, I heard of him, but I stood there for a moment wondering if he knew how to say his own name. Well, of course, that's the way the family said it, and that was the right way. And I said, I gotta go get ready for my next set.
Well, wait, how about I buy you a drink?
I don't drink. And besides, my two brothers wouldn't like that. Well, I don't have no two brothers, but Johnny didn't know that. And, well, he just looked so crestfallen when I said that. I can't help it. I felt sorry for him. So I said, why don't you go on over there and see Billy?
And that is where we get our first look at Billy Frechette, and a remarkable romance develops there.
Excellent. And we hope to get a couple more segments there. And we're going to be hearing this for the very first time on stage at
Beatniks on Conkey on Sunday, January 12th at 2 p.m. And we have a full cast of characters, about 14 different characters will play all 20 roles of the show.
Excellent, excellent. And where is Beatniks? It's on Conkey, but where's Conkey? I know where it is, but
sure, Beatniks on Conkey is located in Hammond, just east of Holman Avenue on Conkey Street. It's 420 Conkey Street in Hammond.
So very good. And there are tickets for this?
There are tickets. They are $10 a piece. And it is a, we worked out a profit sharing revenue stream for both Seedlings and for Beatniks. So your ticket admission provides support for both of those wonderful theater groups. And because normally at a stage reading, it would be complimentary. But
right.
We're asking for your support for our theaters.
Well, and also to develop this into a full-blown production.
Absolutely.
So, and that's important.
It does require some funding.
Well, you know, almost anything, you know, having done theater for like 40-some years.
Right.
Especially musical theater, it requires lots of money, but this is a non-musical and everything like that. So people can go and they can actually give you feedback on the reading and everything. And then, Jerry, you might take some of that and say, okay, maybe we need to tweak this or they didn't understand that, correct?
It's a great opportunity. We're doing this in increments. And yes, the end product should be a fully realized production that was, in some sense, written with the audience. Mm-hmm. So I'm thrilled about that.
Right. Excellent. It's an exciting process when, I mean, it was for the one that we did in the gallery because mm-hmm. actually the audience input did change the way the author rewrote something.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. And even in our read-throughs in rehearsal, some of the comments from the actors and they're asking him, because Jerry is going to read one of the roles, and so he's been part of the rehearsal process as well. And so in their questions to him about, like, did you mean for it to come across this way, or is that my acting choice? Mm-hmm. And how it really plays to different
right.
feeling at the end of the show.
Right, and that's an important dynamic is actor interpretation. Does it what? And in this case, is this the author's intent? Well, here's the author. Ask
right,
him right
exactly,
there.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we do that with a lot of plays. Well, what's the author's intent here? Well, the author's dead, so I don't know. We know.
Yep. And Jerry's been very willing to give us lots of background and into his thought process. So
projecting it out, where do you think you might stage this production once you get through this process?
Yeah. So we would love to be able to perform it right in the courthouse in Crown Point.
Oh, yeah.
There is reference to him being at the Crown Point jail and even at the theater at Lake County again. You know, the Dillinger Museum isn't there anymore, but, you know, perhaps they can bring a few pieces out of storage and bring it to life there. But a historical venue, I really, somebody suggested, why not do it in like the bank that just moved out, you know, whatever this.
8585 Broadway, yeah.
Yeah, there. And like, because there was actual bank robberies in the script, so yeah.
Yeah, the in Crown Theater, I know they've had some technical issues getting that theater up and running, but that'd be a great venue also.
Absolutely.
So you might even take it on tour to various places.
Right, because there's the Holdcraft in Michigan City too, which is a really lovely theater.
Oh yeah, exactly. So one of the things that's really nice about this, it is written in almost a radio drama style, in that it doesn't require a huge amount of sets. It doesn't require a lot of technical elements. There are some very specific ones that need to carry on, but it's really very actor driven, and I just love that.
So it's going to actually. You were singing part of the Lena Horne thing there. So it's actually a play with some music in it, not truly a musical, but
correct.
Well, it is indeed. These folks listened to the radio, you're like this,
right.
all the time. I mean, the radio was their companion in every hideout where they squirreled away. The popular songs of the day or songs that they sang to each other, Red River Valley.
Sure.
Brother, Can You Spare a Dime, of course, the Lena Horne songs. They were ways of communicating pretty much like we are used to from our own generation. Music was a kind of a code. If you knew this song, if you got this song,
right,
you were cool. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things in full production I'd like to see us do some more with is the musical.
Adding almost, that atmosphere.
Sure. Yeah,
almost ballad or corrido.
Well, you could actually, and you can underscore this with music too in many places.
Absolutely. Yeah. This whole show can be underscored.
So with your research, Becky in her reading said they were dressed to the nines. Now, when they went to rob banks, was that equally, were they known for their like dressing?
It's a theatrical this was a show and they had to look the best. Interestingly enough, there's some of this going on in the play too. There are ways in which the police and the criminals are kind of brothers under the skin in this way. Melvin Purvis, the G-man who hunted Dillinger for so long, and Dillinger himself, they kind of tried to outdress each other. And they had their snappy fedoras with the brim just right, and they had their cigars. They were cigars, and cigarettes were big props as well, you know. And there's no other way to say it. They looked great. They looked fabulous.
I'm going to dress to do it. Well, you know, my wife is from Wisconsin, and the North Woods of Wisconsin is a big Dillinger up there. They have books about it, and some of the they have actually Dillinger tours of some of the places.
Yeah, there's another place we could do it. He references Little Bohemia, right?
Oh yeah, there's tons of. I mean, that's a big deal up there, and some of the thing is like you alluded to. Is he was there and people knew he was Dillinger, but it was like, it's okay. He's not bothering anyone up here because he didn't rob banks up there. You know, it was kind of his hideout.
Right.
And it was, but there was sort of a respect for him. It's kind of odd. You know, it's like, well, yeah, he's a criminal, but it's okay. He didn't bother you, so we won't bother him.
Right.
That's the myth. That's the legend, you know. And
so in the play, will there be cigars and cigarettes, or can we?
So in a full production, there would, but in our stage reading, there is not.
Well, they learn how to stage smoke anyway.
That's
you know, you
exactly
don't really have to
right,
inhale.
Yeah.
Just kind of put it in your mouth and you can blow out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's ways around all that. So after we do the reading on the 12th, then what's the next step in the process?
Yeah, we're looking for a venue and a production, you know, to team to come in behind it. And
seems like
really
more grants are in your future.
You could maybe read one of those coming up soon.
Well, I have to moderate the next grant because I sat on 2 years, so then they give you a pass. So, but then so you don't have to read them. I don't have to read them and comment on them. I can read them, but I think you've been tagged to do the next one, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So we're, but yeah, that sounds like a very, very grant worthy type thing. I mean, you know, so it'd be great. And then start looking for the venues. So excellent. Now, Jerry, do you have any other projects on the horizon here?
Thank you for asking. A couple. I have I know you're familiar with this, the Indie Fringe short play competition, which takes place in Indianapolis in May. I've been lucky enough to be in that a couple of times, and I have a show under consideration for that right now that's set right here. As a matter of fact, it's a short play that's set on top of the Purdue Northwest Water Tower, where two guys... Gonna love this. Two guys are painting, of course, the water tower, a process I watched a few months ago. And those guys take that opportunity to suddenly discover that they are sleeping with the same woman, and things
excellent.
Do
way
not
up there.
Go well. And sorry.
No, that's great. That's awesome. What a premise.
And then I have a novel that you mentioned, The Killing of Strangers, which is a thriller about something real, the events of the shootings at Kent State University in March of 1970. And
which still feels so fresh, you know.
It does. It feels, every time I talk about this, it seems like it's
just
happening now.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's available at Amazon for $179.
Yes. Sometimes it's cheaper.
Yeah, well, I just researched it and I thought, wow.
But that was a durable character for me, the first person narrator, the detective mm-hmm. in that book. And I would like to bring him back in another novel. And I'm sorry, is it time to...
Oh, that, you know, that's okay. But anyway, we're listening to Art in the Air, Jerry Holden, Becky Jakowiak here, and talking about Dillinger and some of the other projects you have.
Yeah. Well, I did want to mention the a class that I just took to Bergen, Norway.
So good. Yes.
2 weeks ago. It was a fantastic experience. This came about from a Fulbright I got a couple of years ago that let me teach in Norway for a year. And during that time, of course, I did some work on Scandinavian crime writing, which has just burst out all over the place. And I made friends with some very popular authors, and they were the ones who greeted our students when we came over and just proved to be the most wonderful hosts to them as they studied the kind of writing that they're doing.
I have to thank you because I lived vicariously through that whole experience. I'm so glad you documented it and talked about it because I really felt like I was there a lot of the time.
So. It was very cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was wonderful. And there was one special moment where you have a particularly nice relationship with the best-selling Norwegian writer Gunnar Stolason, whose series about the Bergen detective Varg Veum mm-hmm. has been commemorated in a television series which airs on our International Mystery Channel here. It was shot in Bergen. But Gunnar has been so good to us, so... and he has there's a statue of his character, Varg Veum, a life-size statue, looking out over the harbor there. So I got hold of that sculpture and asked him to do for Gunnar his own replica of the famed Maltese Falcon.
Awesome.
And, he did it. And the night that Gunnar had dinner with us, we presented it to him, and he was... of course, quite thrilled. It's a lovely replica. But I had a surprise waiting for me, too, because Vidar, that sculptor, had also read my book and liked it. And so he presented me with a bust of my character, Sam Haggard.
Wow.
And I just wept, of course. And one of the great happy moments of my life.
Excellent. Well, Becky, we'll move on to you. You wear another hat that, well, I'm kind of familiar with. I'm actually familiar with the history of it. And back the Northwest Indiana Excellence in Theater Foundation. Prior to that, I don't know if you know this. This is a little history that you probably don't know. When I was at the Center for Visual Performing Arts, we were going to start that type of thing. And
okay.
then Jeff Casey kind of came up with it. And so we kind of backed off of it. But we were going to start it. And actually, the first several seasons, we sponsored it there.
Great.
You know?
Yeah. But, yeah, I remember the gala being over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of the interesting history. And I don't know if you know the predate of that, the Northwest Indiana Theater Alliance.
Yes.
Okay. It's NITA. Yeah. And they started kind of an awards program based off of Rick Sherman.
Okay.
You know, Rick Sherman, yeah. who's the theater critic, who actually I went to Chicago with a lot of times to see a lot of shows.
Nice.
First readings and things.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the history of that. So I'll let you pick it up from there. You've been involved as president for 8 years.
Yes, I've been president for 8 years. NITIF has been around for 28 years, and we have gone. What started with 6 theaters is now we're at 16 theaters. All across Northwest Indiana, we have community theaters, we have high school theaters, we have collegiate theaters, all involved. And the idea is to give people a one place stop to find theatrical information, just like you guys are providing a one place stop for
yes.
all the arts information. Ours is more niche, just to theater. You can buy your tickets, NITIF.org. You can find out dates for upcoming shows and auditions and fundraisers. And then, you know, what many people know us for is the awards side of things, where we run an event that could be equated to like the Tony Awards for Northwest Indiana. We award best actors and best shows and best musical and all the different categories. But I like to say that we're much more than just an awards show. We're here to provide administrative and fundraising and marketing support for all of our theaters, as well as a point for patrons.
And I know, like, back in my day, Anita that predated that, and everything, that was one of the things. We always had all these separate little theater groups,
yep.
And occasionally you'd make a call for resources from another or another, and
right.
But they just kind of worked in their own little fiefdoms and everything.
Little bubbles, yeah.
And well, the other thing that finished Night of, the original thing before Night of came in, is Anita did the first big theatrical production at the center.
Right, okay.
But the thing was, the center at the time, I wasn't working for him at the time, they were doing Sweeney Todd, which was not probably the show I would have picked to bring
sure.
people in. But anyway, it was a great show, and John Glover directed it. But all of a sudden, the theater was charging them this huge amounts of money to rent the theater. And
right.
it was like, well, wait, no, we were bringing you a free show that we were paying all the cost. Anyway, it just
kind right.
And so that finished the organization financially, and then hopefully.
Sure.
But the idea, the thing behind it is much of what you're doing today is cooperation among the various
Absolutely.
Theater groups. So
yeah, and so speaking of cooperation, we also put on the big Theater Palooza Festival where other theaters mm-hmm. can all come together and present part of an act or a show or a short show, a 10-minute play, whatever. And then the patrons, it's a free event, and so they get to experience all the different theaters just at one time. So
I know it sounds cliche, but we're all stronger together.
Yeah, all right.
And you also have, don't you have sometimes unified auditions or?
Occasionally, theaters will come together. It tends to be geographically oriented,
right.
Not entirely unified auditions, but. There are multiple theaters in Hammond, multiple theaters in Valpo. Then, yeah,
sure,
that kind of
and
thing.
It covers the three county area.
It does
area?
Cover three counties, yeah, Lake
yes.
Porter and LaPorte County.
Excellent, excellent. And what do you have planned for the future, or is it just a matter now that we've hit this level, we're just going to keep the stride going?
No, we have big plans in the future. We yeah, everybody's familiar with the demise of the Star Plaza Theater and the lack of a large arts venue. We want to be on board with and sit at the table with those that are decision makers about what an arts center, a large, you know, Kennedy Center style arts center could be for Northwest Indiana, as well as we want to take our Theater Palooza Festival and morph it into being more like an Indie Fringe or a Chicago Theater Week.
Oh, sure.
Festival.
What about Gloria Tui's building that she's doing? Is that big enough
yeah.
to
so
like?
It is on a small scale, yes. Mm-hmm.
The like starter building?
Yes, exactly. Like one of each type of entity could work there. Whereas, you know, our vision would be that you could have three or four different rehearsals going on at the same time and different kind of production spaces.
Oh,
and,
how exciting.
Yeah. So,
well, the
room for the props.
That'd
be
yeah.
so good.
A
costuming
that,
department.
Yes. That'd be
well,
so exciting.
The one possibility, but you would get on board early is the casino is going to have a performance space. Now I realize they're looking at a commercial
right.
level
right.
of that,
yep.
but you know, that might be an interesting prospect to approach mm-hmm. them and say, you know, as a write-off for them, because obviously
right.
you're not going to perform, because really casinos don't make money on their venues.
Right.
They don't have to.
Right. Right.
And that's while some will argue that Star Plaza was still making money, but you know, and everything
yep.
like that, a casino can bring in huge acts, lose tons of money because it gets
Correct.
People in the door, and what do they do after they're in
the
door?
Then they go hang out
they,
in
they
the
go,
casino. Yeah,
they go
exactly.
give their money to the casino, you know?
Right.
So that might be a possibility.
Absolutely,
very good.
Yeah.
What
we're,
else?
We're open to all things. So.
What else is coming up with Night of, besides, you know, down the road
yeah,
this
so,
year?
So this year, we also put on Park Plays, which is a grant-funded program. Again, it's out at the State Park every summer. So on Thursday nights, you can have free theatrical entertainment out at the Indiana Dunes State Park Pavilion. And we like to liken that to Ravinia. Ravinia tends to focus on music, but occasionally they'll bring in a theatrical act. So ours are all theatrical. And you'll see Shakespeare, you'll see improv, you'll see kids musicals, all different kinds of things. Every week is a different performance.
Okay, yeah, and then they do those different places. Yeah, and I think I've seen grants on that also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I guess Becky has written. So
I do tend to write a few of them.
You're the grant maven. I guess maybe they should get in touch. People should get in touch with you if they need grant help.
I do write for many different granting agencies. So yes.
Well, you'll have to give us your contact information.
I will
we'll
be
put
happy
it on
to provide that.
Well, you can even say it on air, but I'll give it to me and I'll put it on our site.
Sure, it's Rebecca Jaskowiak at gmail.com, and my phone number is 219-331-2071. Yeah, check me out. I'm happy to help serve. So
excellent, excellent. So, well, we just have a few more minutes left. So with the upcoming reading, do we have maybe like a 1 or 2 minute segment you can do for us from the show? And set it up for us, because we're listening, talking Dillinger. And that's going to be at Beatniks on Conkey, and that's in Hammond. It's a great place to, a little small, almost a review-sized venue and everything. And they do lots of comedy things at the Beatniks and everything. And probably everyone knows that little Mary LeVan always goes there. So she's always, Mary LeVan is the Energizer Bunny of Northwest Indiana, 90-some years old, and this woman goes. So what do we have?
Well, there's a little sequence here that is a little later in the play. As a matter of fact, it's in the last month of Dillinger's life. It's where he and his girlfriend, Billy Fichette, return to the Dillinger farm down here by Indianapolis. And John's been shot up one of the few times this happens. He's got lead in his arm, and he and Billy come back, and waiting for them is, of course, Dad, the long-suffering John Dillinger Sr., and Sister Audrey, who is similarly long-suffering. And here's a little bit of that.
You scared us this time, Johnny.
We scared ourselves, didn't we, Billy?
Yeah, we did.
What are you two going to do now? It's just a matter of hours before them laws come calling down here. Don't you worry, Papa. We'll be gone long before sundown.
Don't worry about us. Johnny says we're going to South America.
They're pulling the plug on our way of life, Papa. These damn banks and them laws are all in cahoots now. There ain't no living in this for an independent like me no more. Doing the exact same thing to the farmers, son. Honest man can't make a living no more. Well, I ain't what anybody would call an honest man, but hell, Daddy, I had a good run at it. Besides, I got responsibilities now. I want to make this little girl my wife, and maybe down south of the border we can get a little place where nobody ain't ever heard of us.
We're going to have to go a long way to find a place like that. Yeah, like maybe another planet.
Oh, I'll take care of you, honey. I always have. Papa, you still got that old guitar? It's around here someplace. Well, how about one of them old songs before we go? How about Red River Valley? I guess I can remember it. And we would ask you all to join us in a few lines of Red River Valley here.
Well, that's excellent. You know, and you're going to hear Dillinger. That's on January 12th. That's a Sunday. At what time?
2 p.m. at Beatniks on Conkey in Hammond.
Well, we'd like to thank both Becky and Jerry for coming in today on
excellent.
Art on the Air. Excellent. And we're going to have, I'm sure, you back to talk about other things that are going on with Nina. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, our station manager. We are supported on the underwritten by Valparaiso University Brower Museum and Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Art on the Air is also supported by the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest, you know, send us information. It's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Next week, we have Roger Batten with My Path Bibliotherapy, and he'll be here to tell us all about that. So see you right here next week on Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a terrific week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.